Romans chapter number 8. Romans in chapter number 8. I will give you good news this morning. We are not talking about communication. And if you've been in class faithfully, you know, the last 3 weeks we have talked about the communication myth. We concluded it last week, thank the Lord, and we're moving on to new material. Although we are continuing in our marriage myth series, exposing common misconceptions about marriage from the Word of God. And today, we're going to talk about the conflict myth. Now, no one in our class has any conflict, so this is just kind of preparatory in case this would ever happen in your relationship in the future, the very distant future. You're going to want to be able to recollect this lesson for a few thoughts regarding the conflict myth. What's conflict myth? It says that marital conflict and life's difficulties are enemies of our marriage. Now, let me set a premise. Marriage is the lifetime commitment of an imperfect man to an imperfect woman. What do you get as a result of that? What does common sense tell you? It's an imperfect relationship. Now, it's designed by God. It's His intent. It's His origin. It's His hand of blessing and favor, but it's not perfect. It's not God's fault. It's mine. My marriage is not perfect because I'm involved in it, all right? I'm an imperfect husband. There are going to be times I let Susanna down. There's going to be times I say the wrong thing. There's going to be times I'm just flat out a jerk. These things are going to happen. They may not necessarily be intentional, but they're going to happen. And we've got to learn as husband and wife, what are we going to do when conflict arises? A young couple was recently married, and he was a farmer, and his wife was a beautiful young bride, and they were enjoying early married life, and now they were going to receive the first visit from her mother, who, as upon her arrival, immediately demanded an inspection of the house to make sure that her daughter was keeping it just like she had been taught and instructed. And the farmer, the young man, had a genuine desire to be friendly to his mother-in-law and to have a good relationship and for things to be as indeed they should be. But to no avail, she just kind of kept nagging, and she kept giving advice that they weren't really seeking, and she kept demanding changes, and the visit was going pretty rough. In fact, it was becoming almost unbearable. One day, during her visit, they were walking through the barn together, and the farmer was showing his mother-in-law some of the things there and some of the livestock and so forth. And as they were walking through that, they walked behind the stall where the mule was, and all of a sudden, out of the blue, the mule reared up and kicked the mother-in-law in the head, killing her instantly. At the funeral service, a few days later, the farmer stood near the casket and greeted folks as they walked by. The pastor who was officiating the service noticed that whenever a woman walked by and whispered something to the young man, he would nod his head yes and say something back. But he noticed whenever a gentleman walked by and whispered something to the farmer that he would shake his head no and whisper something back. The pastor was very curious of this bizarre behavior and was wondering what was happening, what was being said in those moments of that funeral service. And so later the pastor pulled him aside afterwards and said, "What was that all about? What were they saying?" And the young man told the pastor, "Well, the ladies coming by would say, 'What a terrible tragedy.' And I would nod my head and say, 'Yes, yes, it was.' The men would walk by and ask, 'Can I borrow your mule?' And I would shake my head, 'No, it's already booked up for another year.'" And now you never know how conflict is going to be. I know we got some mother-in-laws in attendance this morning, so I'm sorry. Anyway, I told my wife, I said, "I should send your mom that story." No. And you never know how conflict is going to be resolved in your relationship. But here's some things you do know. Going into marriage, you're going to have conflict. And this isn't something that, man, who's got the most conflict? Oh, look at, you know, it's not that. But listen, we're an imperfect people. It's an imperfect relationship. These things are going to happen. We've got our heads in the sand if we think we're not going to run into moments of tension or disagreement or discussion, whatever the case may be. And great couples have learned how to take that and make it to their good. Think of the biblical illustrations of these things. I think of Genesis 50:20 in the life of Joseph. He said, "But as for you, you thought evil against me, but God meant it unto good." The Bible says in Job 23:10, "But he knoweth the way that I take. When he hath tried me, I shall come forth as gold." And look at Romans 8 as you there in the scriptures in verse 28. "And we know that all things work together for good to them that love God, to them who are the called according to his purpose, for whom he did foreknow, he also did predestinate to be conformed to the image of his son, that he might be the firstborn among many brethren. And so the conflict myth, hey, our marriage is being bombarded and it's the enemy. Listen, it's a reality and we've got to choose to use it for our good. Sometimes a myth associated with this is, well, Brother Rule, I just think good marriages don't have conflict. You're wrong. All marriages have conflict. Good marriages have just learned how to use conflict to their benefit. But all marriages face it. Well, I think conflict will harm my marriage. Not necessarily. It may push you out of your comfort zone to bring about the growth that you've desperately needed. Sometimes it brings something to the surface, to the forefront that needs to be dealt with, and it helps us become better people. Just like when we were confronted about the fact that we're sinners, and without Christ, we have no hope. But with Christ, we have an eternal home in heaven. And that was a moment of conflict. That was a moment of tension. That was a moment of awkwardness. But the right decision being made, it could be the greatest moment in your whole life. And a moment of conflict in your relationship could bring something to the forefront that with an adjustment, help one to another, could bring about some great changes in your relationship. When two people get together, you can either have a duel or a duet, and you decide. What is our relationship going to be? Ed Young Sr. said, conflict is an important part of every good marriage. Handled wisely, it can lead to a greater intimacy. Handled poorly, it can lead to greater isolation. We cannot choose whether or not we have conflict, only how we will deal with it. So how should we properly deal with conflict in our relationship? We're going to look at three areas of conflict in this lesson. Number one, dealing with the conflict around you, and we need to learn how to grow closer. Dealing with the conflict around you and how we can grow closer. What are we talking about? Things that are around you that could bring conflict. It might be your schedules. It might be your work sometimes brings some tension to the home. It might be finances. Finances can just bring pressure to a family like few other things can. It might be health. Now is presenting some challenges and some tension within the relationship. It might be relatives. You may need the mule. I don't know. But it might be some relatives in your life that's bringing about some conflict and some tension. But we want to learn through it to grow closer together. The Bible says in James 1, verse 2, my brethren, count it all joy when you fall into diverse temptations, knowing this, that the trying of your faith worketh patience. But let patience have a perfect work, that ye may be perfect and entire, wanting nothing. God can use these times in our relationship to grow us individually and to grow us closer and stronger together as a couple. Dennis Rainey said, most couples do not realize that trials represent opportunities for them to sink their roots deeper and gain stability in their relationships. Listen, problems are opportunities in work clothes. That's what they are. And we're going to face problems in life. Life is full of problems. We're imperfect people living in an imperfect world in an imperfect time. You and I, one common denominator we have about our week, we're going to face problems. But our outcome, our perspective, our paradigm, our outlook on it is, boy, look at all these problems. We're just under it. Or, hey, I've got some problems. These are opportunities and work clothes. Let's work through them and get better. It really determines how we look at it. And that's what we want to look at together. How can we resolve this and grow closer as a couple? A few simple practical ideas. First of all, letter A, seek unity with your spouse. Seek unity with your spouse. The Bible says in Ecclesiastes 4, two are better than one because they have a good reward for the labor. For if they fall, the one will lift up his fellow, but woe to him that is alone when he falleth, for he hath not another to help him up. Two are better than one. There needs to be a sense of unity, certainly among believers and Christians in the context there, but certainly amongst married people, there should be unity. If any earthly relationship should be unified, it should be a marriage. The Bible says the two shall become one. They shall leave father and mother. They shall cleave. They shall be one flesh. So how do we stick together when it feels like we're surrounded by conflict? Let me give you some practical thoughts. I think these are your notes. We can go quick. Pray together. We have often stressed in his design the need to pray as husband and wife. And I'm not going to ask for a raise of hands, but how many of you faithfully pray together? How many of you maybe before entering into rest in the evening might put your arm around one another lying in bed and just pray, and one after another just talk to God? And maybe there are some circumstances, maybe it's health, maybe it's finances, maybe it's this, maybe it's that, that there's some pressures. I'm looking around the room and I know we're partnering in prayer about job opportunities and various things and such. Maybe it's that, and it's beginning to, you can feel it in the home and in the relationship. Are we praying about it? That's a simple thing, but it's a huge thing because it moves the hand of God. We need to pray together. We need to encourage one another. Encourage one another. You know what? Sometimes if we're not careful, we can discourage one another, but always talking about it. If it's there and we've talked about it and we're working through it together, then let's encourage one another. Hey, honey, it's going to be okay. You're going to get that job. Hey, honey, we're going to be fine. Everything is great. You remember the story that I told you, and this has been a while back, about the couple, and they were going through some difficult times, and he was looking and looking and looking for a job. And he got home one night and he opened the door and it was kind of dimly lit in the house. And he thought, what's going on? And he kind of walked by the dining room there. And there was some candles beautifully lit and the table set. And he was like, wow, this is going to be something. And he could smell the aroma of the meal and the way it was prepared and set up for him and so on. And he went into his bedroom to set down his things and he stepped into the restroom to just kind of wash his hands for dinner. And he went to flip the light on. And no lights came on. And they were behind in their bill, and sure enough, it had been shut off, and he was trying to find a job. And he kind of hung his head and walked back out there, and his wife said, honey, it's okay. And she sat him down to a candlelit, beautiful meal, just trying to encourage him, it's going to be fine, we're going to get through it. Listen, we can handle moments of conflict in all kinds of different ways, but we want to make sure we're encouraging one another. Thirdly, talk together. Make sure you're communicating about it. Number four, strategize together. How are we going to handle it? If it's a schedule, if it's a health issue, if it's a relative, if it's something that's kind of coming in from around you circumstantially, how are you going to handle it? Talk about it, strategize, be on the same page. Lastly, refuse to blame each other. You're one. You're one flesh. Now, in the talk about it stage, there may be some discussion of what we could have done better and how we could have handled things and what we could have said. That's fine. Let's implement that. But at the end of the day, let's move forward together in unity, not blaming one another, not blame shifting, not, well, it was her fault, well, it was his fault, well, she said, well, he said. We're one. We can't live that way. We've got to seek unity. How can we grow closer through conflict? Seek unity. Letter B, seek the perspective of God. Seek the perspective of God. The Bible says in 2 Corinthians 1, blessed be God, even the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of mercies and the will of all, and the God of all comfort, who comforteth us in all our tribulation, that we may be also to comfort them which are in any trouble by the comfort wherewith we ourselves are comforted of God. Listen, God allows conflict. And God just doesn't allow conflict. God has a purpose for conflict. We read in Genesis 50:20 this morning, Joseph's perspective. He said, listen, you meant it unto me for evil, but God meant it unto me for good. Think about in Joseph's life, his brothers hating him, his dad favoring him, being sold into slavery, being bought by Potiphar, being lied about by Potiphar's wife, being falsely accused and imprisoned, being forgotten about, then being a slave to the Pharaoh. But God used all of that in a great way to save people's lives and to make God known to a nation who had not known the Lord. So God allows conflict. You may be facing conflict this morning that maybe nobody knows about, but God does, and He's allowed it. So be careful to get bitter about something that God's allowed in your life. And be careful to get God's perspective. Have we asked the Lord, Lord, I don't know why we're facing this, maybe financially, maybe health-wise, maybe in some other arena, some discomfort and some conflict, but Lord, what are you trying to do through it? What are you trying to teach? What are you trying to show us through this? And we certainly want to get His perspective on it. A couple principles of what God says about conflict. First of all, God is good and wise. God knows best. Nothing's ever entered my life or yours that did not cross God's desk first. God approved it. God allowed it. God ordained it. And He's wise. He's good. He's always good. We'll be reminded of that. We are to give thanks in all things. We read that in Romans 8. Because it will work together for good. Now listen, sometimes in the midst of the trial, it's difficult to give thanks. I think of Tanisha Fields right here in the second row. And David called me this week and said, but Roy, I got home from work and the ambulance is in the driveway. And they're taking Tanisha to the hospital and pray. And she's had some health difficulties as of late. But she's here this morning and she's smiling and she's learning the Word of God. Why? Because there's an understanding God's still on the throne. The sun came up this morning. God's in control. He knows what He's doing, and I can trust in Him.
Amen.
Number next, God is able to bring good out of evil. The very thing that we see as detrimental, God may be seeing as a needed step of maturity or growth. God can bring good out of evil. God uses difficulty to develop our character. Sometimes there are some circumstances in our life that cause us to draw closer to the Lord that we may not otherwise have exerted that energy and effort to draw closer to the Lord in that way without that circumstance in our life. And God knows that, and it's building character. Sometimes God uses difficulty to advance His kingdom, to advance His kingdom. When others see you making it through a trial in faith and a peace that passeth all understanding, it gives God the honor and the glory. I think of the story of Terry Schiavo, a lady who a couple years back now was starved to death on American soil in the state of Florida. Long story short, there was some legal battle as to whether or not her husband had the right, or her parents had the right, that she would get life support, and Christian organizations were involved in trying to help her to sustain life and so forth. And there was all these things going on. And in the end of the day, they ended up saying that the husband had the right, and he said she didn't want to live this way, and they pulled life support, and it took her 13 and a half days to starve to death in the state of Florida here in America. From that, the book was written about life. And the book was written about her story. And literally around the globe, people were tuning into the news reports and reading the book and understanding that life was a gift from God. And from that, many, many, many people accepted Jesus Christ as their Savior. Would anybody have ever known Christ from the life of Terry Schiavo had she not gone through that trial? I don't know. But I know that God used it to bring about some good. And so we want to have God's perspective. Hey, I'm going through some difficult things, but God can use it. Sometimes God uses difficulty to correct erring in His children. You know what? Sometimes I face difficult times because I messed up, because I made a mistake. Maybe I haven't been faithful to the Lord. Maybe I haven't been reading His Word. Maybe I've not been in church. Maybe I've been forsaking some things that God said were important. And now my life and my relationship is starting to show that. Maybe I've been robbing God because I haven't been tithing. And now all of a sudden my financial picture isn't what it should be. And all of a sudden we've got more going out that's coming in, and we're upside down, and we're kind of wondering what's going on. And sometimes bad stuff happening because God says, listen, you want to go in autopilot, go ahead, here's where it takes you. And it reminds me, I'm off track. I'm living in disobedience. I'm not where God wants me to be. And there's some consequences. There's some repercussions from that. I need to get back under the umbrella of God's blessing. I need to get close to the shepherd. I need to get on blessed ground. And sometimes we might be going through a difficulty that God is using to wake us up, to give us a clarion call. Hey, there's something in your life that is not the way it should be. And by the way, when we're going through a difficult time, that's always a good assessment time. Lord, is there anything in me? As David prayed to God, would you try my heart? Would you know my thoughts? Would you see if there be any wicked way in me? If there's something that's happening in my family that's bad, and I'm the reason why, would you make that known to me so that I have the motivation to get it right? Maybe there's some hidden sin. You think about Achan. And here the command was to take the land, and God was going to give the victory, but he did more than that. He took the garments. He took the gold. He buried them. He said, hey, we're going to get lots of spoil. Why can't I get a little bit for me and my family? And we know that the very next battle, they suffered defeat in a shocking way. They began to assess why. They found out that Achan had sinned against God's command and had taken some of the spoil for himself. And they didn't just go over to Achan and say, bad job, Achan, give us that back. No, they took Achan, his wife, and his children, and they took him outside the city, and they killed them. And then they got victory. Now, I don't know about you, but I have to imagine in the mind of Achan, the worst part of all of that was seeing the consequence reach to his wife and his kids. Daddy, what's happening? Why are these men in our home? Why did they just take mommy? What's going on? and aching in the back of his mind, knowing exactly what's happening and why it's happening. And that's happening in a lot of homes in good churches like ours today. Satan comes in and he wreaks havoc on the family, and in somebody's mind, they know what's happening and they know why it's happening. Because there's some stuff in their life that doesn't line up with this book. And God says when you're being obedient, there's blessing. But when you're being disobedient, there's cursing. It's just the way it is. When you go on the green, good things happen. When you go on the red, you get smacked. It's just a simple reality of life. When you obey, blessing. When you disobey, cursing. You say, Brother Rule, the Bible says it rains on the just and the unjust. Yes, I know that. But I can face times of rain as a just person and know my house will stand. Sure, God's going to try me. Sure, God's going to make himself known through my life and make sure that my faith is solid and secure and rooted in him. Of course, all those things are true. And by the way, we're all going to trip up. But I'm just saying, when we face times of difficulty around us, it should draw us closer and we should seek unity, but we should see the perspective of God. And the perspective of God might very simply be, hey, you're doing something wrong. And instead of looking at God, and it might be looking at this and saying, well, there's something in my life that isn't right. How can I shake my fist at God and blame him when he's already told me what to do and I know I'm not doing it? No wonder we've got a breach in the wall of protection. No wonder we've got some problems. And God, we just need your grace and mercy, and we want to make it right with you, and we want to restore that relationship so that we can get your perspective and get the correction of the error of our way so that our family can be blessed. Listen, I don't know what trials we may all face, but I know that we will face trials. And God says he will allow them, and they can bring about his good and his honor and his glory. And I pray that as we face conflict, and we will, that we will seek unity. May the difficult times when you're going through the turbulent seasons bring you closer together as husband and wife. And may we seek God's perspective. God, we're facing a difficult time. Is there something in me? I want to be right with you and clean and holy and right. And if I feel like I am, the best I know how, then just help me to honor you through this trial. Because you've allowed it. And I don't know why you've allowed it. I don't really like it, but you've allowed it. So help me just to be faithful and to please and honor you. And God will use that. And God will do that. And I think we see that in the life of Joseph as well. And I pray next week as we conclude these thoughts of how to benefit from conflict. You say, Brother Rule, benefit from conflict? And I know it sounds impossible. But listen, God can use conflict in our life in a great way to strengthen our relationship. Heavenly Father, I pray that you would help us to evaluate our own lives, our own relationships, and to assess maybe where we have some conflict, some trials, some trouble, some difficulty. And Lord, first and foremost, may we seek unity as husband and wife. May we not allow that conflict to divide us, but then may we seek your perspective. And if there's something you're trying to teach us, help us to get the lesson. Examine our own heart, be living right for you, and then to honor you through the trial, to make you known when the sun is shining and when the clouds are out. And may your perspective in our heart, when we're facing a moment of conflict and trial, bring you honor and glory and ultimately strengthen our marriage and our home, we pray. Lord, help us to live that out this week. And then next week as we come and we wrap up these thoughts, Lord, I pray that you would strengthen our relationships and homes and teach us from your word how to develop good out of situations that could so easily produce evil and harm. And we'll sure praise and thank you for it. In Jesus' name, amen.